trying not to make eye contact with Filar. Look, people are dropping like flies in this building, man. I don't want to look at you. People are sick all over the place. Don't look.
I went back there and Kang was like a one-man band playing the nine instruments at the same time.
Yeah, he's got a million jobs right
he's
now.
Really enjoying it, too.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when looks like maybe perhaps the flu is running around the building. We don't know. Doug's out today, if you haven't figured that out. He kind of let us know yesterday he wasn't feeling so great. Hopefully he's going to be better and be back tomorrow. Kenny went down this morning as well. David's down for the afternoon show. A lot happened, I guess. I saw a story last week that the flu is running through the Red Wings room. Glad to hear it's doing that now as opposed to later in the year, which might also be a reason that there's a little lethargy looking for the Red Wing offense. Maybe not, but I'll just throw it out there. So hopefully people are washing their hands, not touching their face. Go back to the COVID. Here's what was great about the COVID rules is that the COVID rules weren't just for preventing the spread of COVID at the time. It's also just good practice to not get sick from other things.
Wait a second. We got to wash our hands again after we use the bathroom?
Yep.
What is this?
I know.
I thought we were done with that.
Well, we're not. Not today. Wash your hands. Get the Purell going. Make your own. Are we going to make our own Purell again? Yeah. What are we going to do? It's got to be greater than 120 proof or whatever the liquor is supposed to be with some Vaseline. I don't know. YouTube it. You'll figure it out. Or you could just buy Purell, which they have. It's plentiful now.
Yeah, you can get them now. They're still on shelves.
It's always toilet paper, we hope.
That was currency.
Yeah, it really was. Anywho, we're doing okay. Kang and I are holding the fort down here. Kang's doing a great job holding the fort down without the screener as well, so there's a lot going on. So be patient with him. We're going to be patient, and we look forward to talking to you. 248-539-9797. All right. Wanted to talk about give my thoughts on the Michigan State game from Saturday night. I chose not to go to the game. I didn't want to deal with the night game and get home at an ungodly hour, which is exactly what would have happened because the game came down to the wire. Michigan wins it 24-17. Michigan State had a chance to tie it late in the game. They got deep into Michigan territory, and unfortunately, Aiden Childs couldn't connect with his receivers, and Michigan State loses 24-17. And then you have another incident at Michigan Stadium and another one that involves Michigan State and Michigan that has people talking about what happened afterwards. So let me first, I guess, I'll talk about the game itself before we get into what happened with 20 seconds left or whatever. It's unfortunate for the Spartan fans that wanted the win. Maybe I think Michigan State fans felt a little chesty about this one going in, even though Michigan was favored. Not a whole lot of respect given to Michigan's offense, and deservedly so. It's not a good offense. The offense is terrible, in fact. But that terrible offense beat you. They had less than 300 yards in offense. In fact, they had like 260 yards in offense. 265 yards, I think, was the total. But they won the game. They did enough. They couldn't do anything early. And Michigan State had two tremendous drives early in this game to go up 7-0, but it should have been more. Should have at least have been 10-0, but they missed the field goal, chip shot field goal. I'm sure there were Spartan fans like myself that would have liked to see them go for a touchdown, but I wasn't overly vocal on it. It just had my 51% would have said, I want to score a touchdown here, go for that, pin Michigan deep, knowing that they have no offense, take your chances that way. But they didn't. They missed the field goal, whatever. But it's what happened at the end of the first half that really hurts. Michigan finally mounts a drive late in the first half, and they're getting down in the 11, 12-yard line. And there's only one player on Michigan's team that's going to strike fear in any team in this country, and it's Colston Loveland. That's it. The running game was completely non-existent in the game, with the running backs. Kalel Mullings had 13 carries for 18 yards. Donovan Edwards was 9 for 24. I mean, that's 22 carries for 42 yards. Do the math on that. It's not good. It's not good at all. They weren't able to run the ball. The only one who's able to run it is the guy that you should know is going to run the ball when he's in the game, and that's Alex Orji. Michigan State didn't account for him enough. You know how many passes Alex Orji threw? This many. It's a zero. None passes. It's very, very frustrating to be a Spartan fan watching that game, and when Orji comes onto the field and you're trying to respect the fact that you think he can throw the ball and he can't, he's just going to run it, act accordingly, and they didn't. I feel like in the end, and maybe this is just me because I'm a Spartan, and I don't want it to come out there. I always try to be as even-keeled about this as I can, letting you know what my biases are because I can't stand Michigan. I try to be objective about this. But I thought this was a game that Michigan State lost more than Michigan won. And is it taking away some of the victory for Michigan? Sure, I guess. But whatever, they won the game. And in the end, congratulations, you're good enough to beat Michigan State, which means nothing. But this has been a bad season for Michigan, admittedly by their fans. They're not thrilled with this. The win puts them at 5-3, three losses already, and they got a big game this weekend against Oregon. They still have Ohio State, and it's going to be a tough road there. So it's not a great season for Michigan after winning the national championship last year. But for Michigan State, they had their opportunities and let them slip. And Doug said it on Friday, and he was dead right. He said this is the first time he's going to go against the conventional wisdom that says the team that rushes the ball better wins the game, which you normally see that. It's a ridiculous hit rate. It's like 90% of the time that's true. Well, Michigan State ran it for 163 yards, and Michigan ran it for 119. And Michigan State didn't win. What Doug did say was that the team that turns the ball or wins the turnover battle will win the game. And there it was. One fumble in the game for Michigan State, and it cost him. There were no fumbles in the game for Michigan, no interceptions from either team. I don't blame Aiden Chiles for coughing it up. I think when you watch this game and you see what was happening, Josiah Stewart's a beast. Number zero for Michigan. He is a beast on the outside. And he chased down Aiden Chiles. Aiden Chiles is rolling to his right. He never sees him. So I'm not going to fault Chiles for fumbling on that play. Unfortunately, it happens when it happened. And Michigan State had just given up the touchdown to Michigan, where Colston Loveland is wide open in the end zone, even though he's the only guy he needed to cover. But Blake Spencer just kind of lost him, and he's open, touchdown. They missed the extra point. Michigan State still has the lead. And then Chiles coughs it up, and Michigan's right there to recover and kick a short field goal at the end of the half. And they go up 9-7. And then they start the second half with a long touchdown run. And now it's 16-7. Michigan State answers the field goal, and then they exchange touchdowns in the end. And then you get to what we had with 20 seconds left in the countdown. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. I will tell you my thoughts on what happened after the game, or I should say with 20 seconds left and the clock continuing to tick while it was going on, as we continue here on 97.1 The Ticket.